The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. Matthew, the 14th chapter, beginning with the 22nd verse. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. I'm going to catch hell from Bill Peterson for having those doors open. My dearest brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from a God who loves us and a Jesus who is present with us always. Amen. It's kind of a weird concept. As a pastor, my work is God. It is what I do 7 days a week, even on days off. I am constantly thinking about God, studying God, researching God, looking at Scripture for God, talking about God, teaching about God, and trying to bring people closer to God. And what's weird about all of that is that in the midst of that work, something that happens to me very, very consistently is that I forget about God. It happens all the time. I am so consumed by learning and teaching and trying to bring people closer that I forget to leave space for myself and God. And that makes me kind of sad. But I connect to this story, this very famous story that many of us have heard before. Really, what happens here as Peter is approaching Jesus on the sea is that he forgets that Jesus is there. And that makes sense. There is a storm, there is powerful wind, and I imagine very big waves. And in the midst of all of that craziness, it would make sense that Peter would look around him and forget that Jesus is right there. And it is that causes him to begin to sink. Now, my role as a pastor is not only to connect this text, all of the text that we read, to our own experiences today, to make sense of it for all of us, but to do it really by trying to understand what it meant for the people in the time that this text was written. What we have here in this very powerful story is another one of allegory and symbolism. It might seem weird, but this is not necessarily a story about Jesus literally walking on water. That's not to say that Jesus didn't literally walk on water, but if that's what you take from this story, then you're reading it wrong. It kind of reminds me of a joke. There were three pastors out fishing on a boat, and one of them forgets his tackle box on the shore, and so he jumps out of the boat and runs across the water and grabs his tackle box and runs back. And then the other one forgets his favorite fishing pole, and so he jumps out of the water and he runs across and grabs it and then comes back. And then the third pastor looks at both of them and says, well, I have as much faith as they do. And he jumps out of the water and immediately sinks right to the bottom. And as the other pastors are pulling him up, they say, we really have to tell him about those stones before he drowns. There's so much more going on in this story, and to understand what it meant for people back then, we have to look at Genesis, which is why I had it included for us today. Genesis, another story that I imagine many of us have read many times before. I want to read just the first two verses again for you. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Now, that might seem like an unassuming text, very straightforward. But this text right here, those two verses were a big deal for the cultures that surrounded the Israelites 3,500 years ago. And really what it comes down to is the creation mythology that other cultures told themselves back then, primarily the cultures of Babylon. There's a very famous story called Enuma Elish that has survived through the millennia, and we have it today. It's the creation story of the Babylonian people and all of the cultures that that they conquered and assimilated into their own stories. The story of Enuma Elish is that there was a goddess named Tiamat. Tiamat was the goddess of the sea, and she was portrayed as a dragon. Many called her the Leviathan. Tiamat went to war with all of the other gods, and they were afraid of her. Until one of them, a god by the name of Marduk, stood up and said, I will defeat Tiamat if all of you promise to serve me and make me the supreme god. And so they all said, yeah, sure, if you can do it, go for it. And so Marduk went and challenged Tiamat, this goddess of the sea who was portrayed as a dragon. And using the power of the wind, Marduk shoved the wind into Tiamat's belly until her mouth was forced open. And then with his bow and arrow, he shot right into her stomach, killing her. And then from that death, Marduk created people. And he told all of the other gods, these people are here for you. They are your servants so that you no longer have to toil. And so that is the creation of people in Babylonian mythology. It comes from chaos. It comes from fear. And we see that primarily in the sea. So then you have these Israelites who you have to imagine have heard these stories as well. And then you look at their own creation story, their own God, a God who hovers as wind over this same chaotic sea, and not with warfare or violence or evil, but just with the utterance of a word, he creates life. We know that the story goes that the last thing he creates is people. And it's not his servants, it's not to toil over the land so that God doesn't have to, but it is a gift. It is so that God can have people to live in relationship with. What a beautiful image to have in contrast to the creation stories of the people surrounding them. But there is one thing that sticks through, and that is this imagery of the sea. For people in this time, the sea was the place where chaos lived. It's where monsters dwelled. People couldn't see what lay below the surface, but they knew that it was dangerous. They knew that storms could sink ships and destroy villages. And their very best hope was that maybe they could survive above it and just possibly fish out some of its food. But the sea represented everything that was unknown and terrifying in the world. So you take that and you take our gospel story today. These disciples are in a boat going through a storm with powerful wind and massive waves on top of this chaotic sea. And what do they behold? But Jesus walking on top of it, coming towards them. Jesus isn't just walking on water in this story. He's walking on the sea. He is walking on chaos. He is above it. He controls it. He does not fear it. He has confidence in the midst of it. And then you have this really amazing moment where Peter looks and sees Jesus walking on this chaotic sea. And just for that one moment, Peter says, "Can I walk on chaos too? Can I be present and comfortable and fearless in the midst of mystery and chaos that surrounds me?" And Jesus says, "Yes, come." And for a moment, Peter walks on water. Until that torrential sea comes and sneaks up around him and makes its presence known again, that chaos, that mystery, that fear. And Peter forgets. This story is a story of tremendous hope for the people of this time. People who lived with a level of chaos that far exceeded that which we see today. Mortality rate back then was about 50% before a person was 30 years old. An oppressive government that would kill people if they just slightly stepped over line. People were subjected to drought and famine constantly. I mean, imagine the chaos and the fear that was around them. This mysterious force that they couldn't understand, but behold, here is their God, this Jesus, who walks in the midst of that chaos, whose promise to his people that no matter what kind of a storm rages around them, he is going to be present there, and that storm will not overtake him. Now us, we're unique. We try to control our chaos, right? And we all have chaos in our lives, and it comes in many forms. We have the chaos of losing a loved one, perhaps. Chaos of fighting with people we care about. The chaos of losing a job, or the fear of not making enough money to make ends meet. Chaos is everywhere. And like Peter, when that chaos rages around us, we forget that Jesus is there. We see the effects of that in our lives. We see those things that sneak up upon us, overtake us, overwhelm us, take our focus away. We see the effects of that in our society. I have to talk about it today, but I'm sure many of you have seen what has been happening in Charlottesville, Virginia. Chaos on a societal level. People marching through the streets as proclaimed white nationalists with a message that people who do not look like them are not as good or as deserving as they are. And I'll tell you, as a pastor, that only happens when we as people lose sight of Jesus in the midst of that chaos. When we lose sight of the love and the compassion that Jesus has for all people. The miracle of this story is not that Jesus walks on water, and I'll say it again, if you think it is, you're not reading this right. The miracle of this story is that Jesus will always be present in the midst of chaos. On a personal level, whatever you have going on in your life, Jesus is there. He's there in prayer. He's there in communion. He's there in all of you and the love and care that you show for one another. Jesus is present in our society. No matter what chaos is going on in our country, no matter what kind of vitriol or polarization is happening, Jesus is right there. And folks, we have a part to play in this. We do. We are called to be God's presence in this world. We are called to lift up when people are marginalized. When people are oppressed, we are called to be voices of truth to power, to say that hate in whatever form it comes up is not God, is not Christ, is not right. To say that all people are deserving of love and equality. Every single one of us has a part to play, no matter our status, no matter our religion, no matter the color of our skin. We are called to be Christ in the midst of the chaos that is around us. And if we could just do that in the smallest of ways, we might just find that we can walk on water too. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able.